Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Here a treat in the studio with us, we have Alfred Ortiz, who is the CEO of Cyber Software Distributors and a cyber security entrepreneur and a university professor at University of Colorado under UCCS. Under the BI program, which is we had somebody talking about that program on a earlier show, but this is a great treat. I love to have people in the studio, and Al and I, for short, we work together quite closely. But I thought this was a great time to talk about the area that is really emerging in Internet of Things security, IoT security, is what we're talking about today. But welcome today, Al.
Chris, thanks for having me. It's fun to be here. Appreciate it.
Definitely enjoy it. So give us, you know, your background. I introduced you to Cyber Software Distributors, which you do a lot of taking out new products to market. And it's rare to have somebody that's in sales and marketing and cybersecurity and kind of has an understanding of the both. But give us your background and how you got to be to that position.
Yeah, so I started way back in the day working for some of the big companies in IT and really just loved the combination of being able to get technology and sales together where you have the hard and the soft parts of business. So the technology has always been fun. As I kind of went through the process, you know, going back to school for my MBA, then what I decided to do is get involved in academia as well and to be able to go and teach. One of the things that opened my eyes was when I went over to MIT and took some classes in their executive education sector, and just some of the changes were just really awe-inspiring to see what technology can bring about, not just with regard to IT, but medical as well, where there's a lot of biotech and some growth.
Yeah, and I had helped you on a Shark Tank for the Bachelor of Innovation program over at UCCS, where you had so many students coming through with great ideas. You taught them how to pitch and put together a startup company and an idea and engage investors and how to make that full kind of business connection, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and what you do with the students in that program.
Yeah, so Chris, I've been teaching there about 2.5 years now. And every time we go in there, as you saw, you know, you get some young students that really just want to be able to say, hey, what do I need to do for next steps in the BI program to be able to start my own business or get that idea off the ground and be proactive? And so one of the things that we bring to the table, along with my teaching partner there, Jennifer Robertson, is put together a plan step by step so these students can not only see what it takes to be able to put that idea out there, but bring it to fruition. Who do I need to talk to next? You know, it's not just we were talking earlier, it's not just a vacuum. You got to initiate it, you got to talk to the right people, and you really just need to start keeping those ideas alive and getting feedback from professionals like yourself in the field. So that's big.
Yeah, they went through a whole startup pitch, just like going on Shark Tank, and I thought that was just awesome. There was a couple of really good ideas. You know, they all had, you know, we have nothing done on this. We just have an idea, but let's pitch it as if we have been working on it for a couple years, type of thing, which was interesting to see some of the ideas were feasible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like anything else that some of them need to recycle some of their ideas, but at the same time, some of them needed to pivot. And they saw, I mean, in a very short amount of time, in 15, 16 weeks, just where they can bring it to the table with some investors, people like yourself that see it, other judges that come in. And really, I mean, that's a boon to the BI program and UCCS overall.
Yeah, definitely. And you had some non-technical people doing more of a social impact and a thing, but you had some really technical guys pitching even IoT things, which is kind of what we're going to talk about right after our break and we hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Alfred Ortiz of Cyber Software Distributors, the CEO, founder there of that group. But Alfred, we wanted to talk about IoT security, and that being the area where you do a lot of sales and talk to a lot of companies. Give us your thoughts on what that means and what the difference is between people who might always think of data security and information technology versus this IoT thing and what differentiates the two.
Yeah. So really, when we're talking about IoT or the Internet of Things, we see a lot of examples with regard to the consumer side. You know, those Alexas and things like that. What we're really talking about in this enterprise level or this other space for business and organizational type of IoT is a hospital, for example. You know, a hospital may have 50 devices in one room for a patient, and those pieces of technology need to integrate together to a certain extent. And not only the privacy issues that we talk about with HIPAA, for example, but we're talking about some of the devices where the doctor needs to go and check on his patient, and there's really life-saving information and information he needs to know about how that technology is all integrating for the patient. So that's what we can look at as well as maybe robot arms on a factory floor. You know, one of our customers is an automotive manufacturer. They have 600 cars a day that go through an assembly line. Imagine what would happen if those pieces and technology of IoT don't integrate right. And let's say there's a 1 or 2 millimeter difference with regard to a weld on a car. I mean, that can be a whole line of cars that has to have a recall in the millions of dollars. So there's really a big, big atmosphere that we're talking about when we're talking about this organizational IoT.
Yeah, and I think that's a good differentiation to say securing those little devices, people's minds immediately go to the consumer devices they know. Oh, I got my phone in my hand. I got my Alexa. I got my microwave. But those are a small piece in comparison to how many machines are on a railroad, how many machines are on a gas pipeline, how many machines are on in the millions of factories doing robotics, how many 25 to 50 devices are in each hospital room.
Right.
All these interconnected and all these almost out of sight of the consumer.
Yeah.
But that differentiation and how, when we look at securing those versus what people think about securing files on their computer, what are the big key differences?
Yeah, so really what you're talking about, I mean, a lot of the information that we have in this integration is real time. I mean, you can save a file, data at rest, if you will, that's just sitting there. But when you're talking about somebody in a factory floor or life-saving technologies that have to be there ready to go all the time, that data can't wait. It has to integrate. There's a huge difference between what we just see and being able to maybe, you know, get some data and encrypt it, for example, in a file. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Well, it's saved. It's locked down like being in a safe. But when we're talking about this other data and IoT, what we really need to see is how is it functioning? Because if it's not working on one piece or it's slowing down on one piece, guess what? It has to go to the other piece of the other technology, for lack of a better word, network. And so all those devices need to work together.
And they need to be work together in a certain amount of time.
Exactly.
And that time is measured in a lot shorter time than what humans No, right. You know, milliseconds, microseconds.
Yeah.
And even nanoseconds, even smaller times, yeah, that say a valve for an oil gas line is opening behind your house that runs beside your house.
Right.
And they're doing it from Texas, right? Halfway across the country.
Yeah, or Alaska.
That control system, they need to turn the switch in another state. It needs to come, that signal comes all the way across the country and then opens the valve and then reports back that it was opened. And those, the timing on both ends of that need to be so tight that they don't cause an explosion, basically.
Right.
You know, how well of time do you want that thing operating in your backyard when it's controlled like that? That's the type of controls for IoT in the enterprise organizational realm the needs are, and big.
Yeah.
So we break that down and look at what, you know, I guess first of all, you work in that industry almost exclusively.
Right.
You talk to manufacturers of auto companies, utility companies, manufacturers of industrial controls, for better terms, and all the factories. How mature is that industry? Is it ready, prepared? Are these secure?
You know, I think really, if you look at it from a time perspective, we're just starting from getting from theoretical to hands-on. I really think that that technology is just emerging, and we're barely scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I were to put it, we're in the beginning 1% to 2% of where this technology is going to be. They're saying by the year, this year actually, in 2020, you're talking about billions of devices, 20 billion plus devices around the world that are going to integrate. And this not only goes to what you were saying about, you know, the oil pipelines. Imagine just an airplane getting off the ground, or drones that are going to be interconnected pretty soon. And the drone systems aren't just the flying little drone airplanes, if you will, but we're talking about submarines, buoys, UAV boats that are going to be shipping. All of these things are going to have to be interconnected with satellites and other things like that. So it's really an exciting time for it.
And they're kind of already starting.
Yeah.
A lot of the functionality has... People have said, oh, look, we can do this. We presented this. We have a product that does this. But the security in how they're secured, still, if 0 to 1, 1 was the first step, they're in between that, 0 and 1.
Yeah.
They're not even there yet.
Yeah, exactly. So how is that data getting connected? Because all the data needs to go back and forth between all these devices that are talking to each other. How is it all evolving?
And I think when I look at the key difference between, you know, IoT, all these devices, and information technology, it's that information technology, you save the data. If you can get it at all, you're good. You know, if there's a delay, no problem. But we just talked about that these devices and robotics have to be tightly timed, nanoseconds, milliseconds. Plus, the commands that operate a device go across other devices. So then trusting everything that passed that command becomes the biggest prime part of security. Instead of securing files, it's trusting networks, trusting devices, which is a whole different thought process.
Right. Yeah, because it's not only the time that you talked about, but the accuracy of the data that's coming in as well. Mm-hmm. So imagine a just-in-time delivery for IoT information. How is that all getting together, and how is it all being connected and processed by all of those steps that you're talking about from one device to another? And then there's always the human element. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So if we had to look into that trust, right? There's a couple areas we think about trust in.
Mm-hmm.
The first is almost the part where we still don't have a solution.
Right.
It's in the supply chain. We hear in the news all the time about, you know, malicious injection in the supply chain, whatever that means, you know, putting an extra chip on the board, putting software into something from that's malicious, or just entire products that are right, not original. What do they call it? Cloning of products, right, that basically are either substandard or mimic another operation. It could do something even what they're not supposed to do. But that supply chain is the first part of getting trust in the supply chain.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say that origination point that you're talking about, right? Where does it start, and how does everything tee off? I mean, the way that I kind of look at it, Chris, is if you were to have kind of a honeycomb effect with, you know, a bunch of hexagons, connected to each other and all of those devices along the way in the supply chain, where does it all start and come from, right? How are you going to track those steps and where are you going with it? So that's really what you're talking about with the supply chain. And it gets, from a global perspective, it gets even more and more complex.
Uh-huh. And right now there's, you know, some companies do this effectively internally.
Right.
But there's really no good, secure solution for doing this, right?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I'm finding and seeing in the industry when I'm talking to people is, you know, I'm not seeing a standard, right? You know, in IT, you see standards, you know, you have your MAC addresses, you have your IPs and all that kind of stuff. But when you're talking about supply chain, hey, where's all this stuff coming from? You know, is this an original product? How did it get started? Where is it going, right? And so I think that's a perfect example of using supply chain to be able to effectively protect your product.
Yeah, right? Well, let's take a break here from our customers. We'll be right back and kind of talk about a couple more areas in the needs for trust for IoT security.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Great. Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Alfred Ortiz from Cyber Software Distributors. Now, you're out there talking on the ground with customers all the time.
Right.
How important are you seeing the call in with supply chain being in some of these companies nowadays?
Yeah.
Are they there yet?
No, not at all. You know, you see some of these major manufacturers and you see some examples of what's going on. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a medical testing company. And one of the things was is they were doing a large part of what they were doing inside of the United States with studies. So they had folks that they were taking tests with and they had their environment, but they also had a piece in Europe. And they were bringing some of that data back and forth. And as that data was going back and forth, they were starting to get really scared that some of that could get out, you know, and it could hinder their product, i.e. medicine.
So it'd be damaging to the company, but right. it could also cause some other kind of problem?
Yeah, well, all of the privacy issues, right? So you're losing with regard to any data, which from GDPR example in Europe is a 20 million euro fine for any piece of information you didn't protect. Then you could lose any revenue or potential revenue from products like medicine that you didn't protect through your supply chain. Where did it come from? Where did it go? All of those different things. So when I'm talking to these folks on the ground, they're giving me these cases that there's these user cases. And we're trying to figure out, how are you guys protecting it? Well, this is the way we're doing it. And really, it's coming back and they're saying, hey, how do I get it from that origination point that I can protect it from through the supply chain all the way through, whether it's medicines, whether it's cars, all of those different things need to be tracked back.
Yeah. I think we're getting to a point where it used to be the bin mentality. There's 1,000 pieces in this bin.
Right.
And we move the whole bin and it kind of gets passed between. So we know where it's at because we're tracking pieces, right?
Right.
But now we're digital, right?
Yeah.
And not only is half the things that we're selling software and how do we keep those separated? There's no bins anymore.
Right.
They could be stored anywhere times 10 and copied and everywhere. And then our devices that are computers are 100% copies of each other.
Yeah.
So we have 1,000 of them, they're exactly the same, and we can't tell which one's which.
Yeah.
Which one did you buy? Well, you bought one of them. Now, how's that differ from the one that the guy beside you bought? Or in the hospital, for an example, there's one in every room, and they all talk. And we talk to them to get information, and we're talking to 50, and they're all exactly the same. There's right. no difference between them.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, Chris, I mean, that's an awesome example that you just gave because, you know, how are they talking and what's the differentiation between, you know, a heart rate monitor in room A versus in room B? You know, where's that data going and how's it being protected and how are you keeping your supply chain? You know, if there's ever a recall, for example, on some of those heart monitors, how are they going to find out where it is and how they got there? So this is a great example.
Yeah, and that's kind of into the next area of security is kind of the product chain.
Right.
You know, you make one product, you copy it everywhere. How do you keep track of the logistics of which one belongs to who, which one has whose information, which one has which patient's private information on it for GDPR, and the security of that just doesn't really exist.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think as these new products or this new industry develops, there's going to be products to come in to be able to fill that gap. A perfect example of what you're talking about. So like I said, we're scratching the surface. If we can get to that point, because it's now we're making these things and you would mass produce them, but not anymore. In today's world, you have to have unique identifiers for every one of your products that come out.
Yeah. And you know where this is really showing up? It's a new area. We were talking about it before the show. It's a new service being offered. Cloud's only, you know, 5 years old in practice.
Right.
But now companies are saying, I put all these products out. They're all the same. And I offer a service connecting my mothership, my enterprise application to all my products to sell some operation to end users.
Right.
I guess an example would be the baby monitors, right?
Yeah.
Everybody buys a baby monitor in their house. They all can connect to the internet, and you log into a service provider, and everybody has an account for their baby monitor.
Right.
And it's a service offered by the company to talk to the millions of baby monitors sold. This is a new kind of paradigm in this IoT, say, security problem, is who, you know, when they offer that service, whose device are they talking to?
Right.
And did they get the right information to the right device? And the logistics of managing that.
Yeah.
When we're talking to customers, how do you see them looking for that solution?
Yeah. I mean, what it is they're finally identifying that those products with a unique identifier have to talk to the other machines, right? And as they're talking, you know, they're figuring out, hey, you know what? What data is crossing from one end to the other?
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not all being passed, which parts are being passed? And how are they being interconnected? Because really, in today's world, you don't even need the whole package of data to be, you know, pushed out to another device.
Yeah.
Part of it can be there.
Yeah, and that's the next piece, right? Those devices, not only are they talking back to a service at the company, they're networked.
Yeah.
And they're talking on a network to each other, to other devices,
right,
to potential malicious activity and hackers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So who's getting access to that data and how? And how do you trace it back, right? Because, mm-hmm, you know, you go back to that supply chain, you have to go forward to produce a product, but at the same time, you have to be able to get the feedback back where that data is coming from.
And that's the other thing, too, I guess, those data now sending information back. So they're reading your heart rate, right?
Yeah.
Which becomes HIPAA data.
Yeah.
And they got to send it back to a data collection. And how, you know, they'd be able to prove which one it came from when you collect it in your database. Also another piece of security that really doesn't have a solution out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think as things progress faster and faster, more and more, you're going to see this technology develop. Definitely.
So, you know, there's so many pieces of IoT security that we don't, you know, like when you said it's before zero, it's less than one,
yeah,
or it's point whatever on the maturity scale.
Right.
You know, it starts to paint the picture of all these pieces nobody really addresses yet.
Yeah. I you know, as we get through more and more, I mean, at CSD, that's really what I'm trying to do, is find this technology that's looking outward to see what IoT organizations, you know, organizational IoT is going to look like next, right? But when we find that, we're looking for all the right people to be able to set that up and then put it all together in a nice organized manner, if you will, to be able to help our clients as well. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
And do you have a lot of, I mean, all these different parts of IoT security, do you have clients looking for all of them or none of them or don't even know where to start? How do you make the introduction to this topic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in some organizations, you know, they can't find the right people to start it. Mm-hmm. Or what technology are they going to prioritize first in their organization? So when you look at the technology and you see it, sometimes they don't even have the staff to start the process. Mm-hmm. They have a rough idea of where to go, right? Where in their organization are they going to start? But then they have to prioritize that, and then they have to find the right people to be able to integrate that. So when you have to put this process together, and not only that, but you have to have the trust of those people in the organization to be able to find out, okay, where are my priorities and how am I going to list them out? Then I have to get the tools and the resources. And when I say resources, I'm talking about, are those people trained in this kind of IT or this IoT technology to be able to protect things?
So, yeah, what is the drive? What's this industry look like in 5 years? Do they get to a solution, or is it just in as much chaos as it is now?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to mature like any business. I think just faster, right? And probably, you know, some of the things that happened, Chris, and I'm excited about it. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, of course, but, you know, I'm excited to see the way that it's going to mature, because people are going to have to take some risk in terms of learning how to be able to secure this, but they're going to have to find the right tools, you know, on top of having the right people. I mean, the right people is going to be paramount, right? But when they have that and they find the right tools to be able to integrate that, that's going to be key. That's where they're going to be able to find the most value. That's where they're going to be able to find the security. Because in today's world, as fast as they could be successful, you know, with producing a device that's IoT, it can be taken away very, very quickly because of reputation and so forth. So that data inside that we were talking about earlier is going to be key to protecting.
Interesting. And do you think it takes a major disaster? I mean, it hasn't hit critical mass yet.
Yeah.
I think this lack of being able to do anything in securing this aspect of our newly evolving world is really not even common knowledge, is probably the big part, huh?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what are going to be next steps? When we look at it, you know, how do you know whether to put a new robot on a factory floor? How do you know to go get a whole set of assets for the hospital rooms that you want to buy for a 1,500-bed hospital? Mm-hmm. What are going to be those things? And how is that going to change when you do go to your, you know, people that are going to be buying the products in your organization? How do they know how it's going to fit in? How do they know they have the staff to secure it? Those are going to be all the questions that they need to start asking themselves in this IoT world.
Is there a governing organization that people turn to know which way to go?
Yeah, I think there's some steps by government that can kind of see where things are going. But definitely it's going to take time like anywhere else, you know, just like we see ISSA organizations of that type where, you know, they want some grounding in the new technology. I think it'll happen, but at the same time, it can't be too regulated either, because mm-hmm. what's going to wind up happening is regulation can't come in and just slow everything down. It's a natural progression process with the technology to develop faster. And if anything really gets in the way, you know, that it's not going to be, it's just going to hold back technology, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
Okay. So we're kind of running up on time. But,
sure.
Who reaches out to you? You go and help companies integrate and implement products to do this and have many solutions to cover different areas in here. How would somebody reach out to you if they wanted to engage, and who might that be that you would talk to?
Yeah, so Chris, probably the easiest way is just to go to my website at cybersoftwaredistributors.com, and then one of these days come out to Colorado Springs and come see us out here. We'd love to have everybody and come out to the some of the events.
Yeah, there you go. So if you have a need to look at IoT security and products around that and how to actually implement some of these, you can reach out to Cyber Software Distributors.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy. Any questions? And if, you know, the thing about it is we can help. We'll get you started. We'll give you a framework. You'll have to make the ultimate decision, but we're there to support you from point A all the way to point Z on all of this. So.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Al. And it's definitely been a pleasure. It's a topic that I love to talk about because it is really unaddressed. And we're just kind of tapping this whole new aspect of how do we start to secure these millions and billions of devices.
Well, thank you, Chris. I mean, this is a great opportunity, you know, just to talk about the technology. I'm excited about it, if you can't tell, but this is going to be a fun time in the technology world.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.